Yes, I think the idea of a seven-part soul would greatly appeal to Lord Voldemort. He made seven Horcruxes, said Harry, horror-struck, while several of the portraits on the wall made similar noises of shock and outrage. But they could be anywhere in the world, hidden, buried, or invisible. I am glad to see you appreciate the magnitude of the problem, said Dumbledore calmly. But firstly, no, Harry, not seven Horcruxes, six. The seventh part of his soul, however maimed, resides inside his regenerated body. That was the part of him that lived a spectral existence for so many years during his exile. Without that, he has no self at all. That seventh piece of soul will be the last that anybody wishing to kill Voldemort must attack, the piece that lives in his body. But the six Horcruxes, then, said Harry, a little desperately. How are we supposed to find them? You are forgetting. You have already destroyed one of them, and I have destroyed another.
You have? Said Harry eagerly.
Yes, indeed, said Dumbledore, and he raised his blackened, burned-looking hand. The ring, Harry, Marvolo's ring, and a terrible curse there was upon it, too. Had it not been, forgive me the lack of seemly modesty, for my own prodigious skill, and for Professor Snape's timely action when I returned to Hogwarts, desperately injured, I might not have lived to tell the tale. However, a withered hand does not seem an unreasonable exchange for a seventh of Voldemort's soul. The ring is no longer a Horcrux.
But how did you find it?
Well, as you know now, for many years I have made it my business to discover as much as I can about Voldemort's past life. I have travelled widely, visited those places he once knew. I stumbled across the ring hidden in the ruin of the Gaunt's house. It seems that once Voldemort had succeeded in sealing a piece of his soul inside it, he did not want to wear it anymore. He hid it, protected by many powerful enchantments, in the shack where his ancestors had once lived. Morfin having been carted off to Azkaban, of course, never guessing that I might one day take the trouble to visit the ruin, or that I might be keeping an eye open for traces of magical concealment. However, we should not congratulate ourselves too heartily. You destroyed the diary and I the ring. But if we are right in our theory of a seven-part soul, four Horcruxes remain.
And they could be anything, said Harry. They could be old tin cans or, I don't know, empty potion bottles.
You are thinking of portkeys, Harry, which must be ordinary objects, easy to overlook. But would Lord Voldemort use tin cans or old potion bottles to guard his own precious soul? You are forgetting what I have showed you. Lord Voldemort liked to collect trophies, and he preferred objects with a powerful magical history. His pride, his belief in his own superiority, his determination to carve for himself a startling place in magical history. These things suggest to me that Voldemort would have chosen his Horcruxes with some care, favouring objects worthy of the honour.
The diary wasn't that special.
The diary, as you have said yourself, was proof that he was the heir of Slytherin. I am sure that Voldemort considered it of stupendous importance.
So the other Horcruxes, said Harry, do you think you know what they are, sir?
I can only guess, said Dumbledore. For the reasons I have already given, I believe that Lord Voldemort would prefer objects that, in themselves, have a certain grandeur. I have therefore trawled back through Voldemort's past to see if I can find evidence that such artifacts have disappeared around him.
The locket, said Harry loudly. Hufflepuff's cup.
Yes, said Dumbledore, smiling. I would be prepared to bet, perhaps not my other hand but a couple of fingers, that they became Horcruxes 3 and 4. The remaining two, assuming again that he created a total of six, are more of a problem. But I will hazard a guess that, having secured objects from Hufflepuff and Slytherin, he set out to track down objects owned by Gryffindor or Ravenclaw. Four objects from the four founders would, I am sure, have exerted a powerful pull over Voldemort's imagination. I cannot answer for whether he ever managed to find anything of Ravenclaw's. I am confident, however, that the only known relic of Gryffindor remains safe.
Dumbledore pointed his blackened fingers to the wall behind him, where a ruby-encrusted sword reposed within a glass case. "Do you think that's why he really wanted to come back to Hogwarts, sir?" said Harry. "To try and find something from one of the other founders?"
"My thoughts precisely," said Dumbledore. "But unfortunately, that does not advance us much further, for he was turned away, or so I believe, without the chance to search the school. I am forced to conclude that he never fulfilled his ambition of collecting four founders' objects. He definitely had two. He may have found three. That is the best we can do for now."
"Even if he got something of Ravenclaw's or of Gryffindor's, that leaves a sixth Horcrux," said Harry, counting on his fingers, "unless he got both."
"I don't think so," said Dumbledore. "I think I know what the sixth Horcrux is. I wonder what you will say when I confess that I have been curious for a while about the behavior of the snake, Nagini."
"The snake?" said Harry, startled. "You can use animals as Horcruxes?"
"Well, it is inadvisable to do so," said Dumbledore, "because to confide a part of your soul to something that can think and move for itself is obviously a very risky business. However, if my calculations are correct, Voldemort was still at least one Horcrux short of his goal of six when he entered your parents' house with the intention of killing you. He seems to have reserved the process of making Horcruxes for particularly significant deaths. You would certainly have been that. He believed that in killing you, he was destroying the danger the prophecy had outlined. He believed he was making himself invincible. I am sure that he was intending to make his final Horcrux with your death. As we know, he failed,"